Claire Torrey, this is the Dark Side of the Moon album, one of the great albums ever made, 1973, by Pink Floyd, and this is Great Gig in the Sky. And you could say a whole day, spent a whole hour listening to that album, and we won't say what most people did to that album because we're in a different era, but we are on to our conversation here with Brian Sears, who is the Annapolis reporter for the Daily Record. Joins us here to talk about what's going on. Government reporter is his official title for the Daily Record. Brian, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark. Are we segueing from Pink Floyd right into the marijuana discussion?
You got it, brother. Go ahead. That's it.
I figured there was nowhere else to go.
Really? Well, take us there. Take us there.
Well, you know, the update on this is essentially, I think we can break it down into a couple of simple bites. The first is that the issue of recreational marijuana, the Colorado model, that's effectively dead for the year. That's going to go nowhere. But I think we knew that people who were watching this issue and listening to legislative leaders early on knew that that issue was going nowhere. You had the governor and the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate on, and you had two of the three of those who, right at the beginning of the session,
right,
said they were not going to support this, and so it goes. Medical marijuana looks like it has the best chance of some passage. The bill from the House is over in the Senate now, and there is a work group going on over in the Senate, and it looks like that bill is likely to get out. Although I'll be honest with you, I think it's probably going to come down to the last week and maybe even the last day, Mark.
Huh.
And then there's this issue of decriminalization, civil fines for small amounts of marijuana. And it looks like that bill is going to be, as expected, stopped up in Chairman Joe Valerio's committee over in the House Judiciary Committee. I don't think there's much hope that that bill's coming out. Senator Bobby Zirkin is making some stink about trying to amend the bill onto the medical marijuana bill or to a couple of other bills to try and get it out. The goal is to try and get it into another committee other than Judiciary, where you might get a better chance of getting it out of committee. Again, I wouldn't go betting the mortgage money on that one.
I thought maybe decrim might pass, but I guess you're saying, in your wisdom, it will not pass.
I believe that one's probably not going to pass. I talked to Delegate Kurt Anderson. I asked him about it, and he said that I asked him about the odds, and he said 30-70 to the bad, and that's a direct quote.
Interesting. So let me ask about a couple other bills. Since we got a note in here. About you had that piece in about the closed doors, do not enter meeting taking place, about talking about lawyers of bail. And we had a note in here from somebody who's been very active in all of that, and Doug Colbert, who wrote in that, want to know what your views would be about why Democratic leadership like Mike Miller and Joe Valerio, both private criminal lawyers, strongly opposed pretrial reform, and they really are the ones who kind of led the battle against this.
And still are, and
rejected the governor's pretrial task force, allowed the bail bondsman to come in and testify in Judiciary privately, where they would not be challenged in public, where all these groups, whether it's Valerio or even the people that are represented by Senate President Mike Miller and the bail bondsman, all have a financial stake in keeping business as usual.
Well, look. I mean, I don't have any sort of special insight into the hearts and minds of men or legislators. I can tell you that Chairman Valerio, Senate President Mike Miller, they both adamantly believe that the Court of Appeals got this decision wrong. Again, I'll go back to your Annapolis summit. I mean, you had Mike Miller on; he was very clear about his feelings about this, and these haven't changed. He's called this ruling in the last 10 days or so in an interview with me, he called it nonsensical, and said that really the only jurisdiction that there's a problem in is Baltimore City,
which is not really, I don't think, factual. But the point that bothered me about this was that is anybody talking about the fact that you have the highest court in Maryland making a decision, and then the legislators choose to ignore it?
I can tell you I'm talking about it. I have asked a number of legislators what would happen. I mean, because you almost set up a constitutional crisis when you have the legislative branch disobeying a direct order from the judiciary. And my question has been over the last couple of weeks, what can happen if they adjourn on April 7th and don't get something sort of worked out? And the reaction sort of across the board is we don't want to talk about it. You know, nobody wants to think about it at this point. There seems to be the belief that that something will get done. But you know, time is short. And there is a faction of people, even people who were meeting in that work group on Friday that I blogged about, that believe that the Court of Appeals got this wrong, and they're trying to come up with a way that doesn't completely gut the current system.
Well, see, well, I guess what bothers me so much about this, but I'm curious what our listeners think at 410-319-8888. We're talking with Brian Sears, government reporter for the Daily Record, and we'll be looking at other issues that are facing Annapolis right now as the session winds down over the next few weeks. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Is that I mean, it would be like to me, you know, where the Supreme Court decides Brown v. Board. The Supreme Court says that the Voting Rights Legislation, Voting Rights Act, can't stand in its full. And whether you agree or disagree with that decision, that was a Supreme Court decision. It would be like Congress going, okay, well, we're going to ignore this. We're not going to pay attention to what the highest court says that we should do. I mean, and then starts talking about how the new chief judge may do things differently, as if she's some kind of a political appointee. I mean, that whole process to me is highly disturbing.
And it didn't go that. And in all honesty, Mark, it didn't go that way at all. I mean, the court made it pretty clear very early on when they revisited this issue that the one thing that was absolutely not on the table was any way that they were going to reverse the Richmond decision, and they didn't. They basically gave the state a little bit longer to sort of get its house in order, but it's pretty clear that they're standing by this.
So let's talk about what are some of the other huge issues that you think that are taking place. I saw you wrote an interesting piece about something we talked a little bit about in the air here, which is the eminent domain issue in private development, where you had some people wanting to go the route of Richmond, California, allowing the city to kind of take houses from banks and then giving them back to the banks so people would not lose their homes and developing that. But the banking industry had a really strong lobbying effort with Senator Conway, and that looks like it's going nowhere. It's been defeated soundly, I should say, right?
The bill passed, and essentially what the bill does is it sets up a moratorium where it says that no jurisdiction is allowed to do what you just described. And essentially what Richmond wants to do and what Joan Carter Conway is concerned about is that local government, in this case specifically Baltimore City was her example, would come in and not only take houses that are foreclosed on, but perhaps even use eminent domain to take houses that are occupied by people who are essentially underwater in their mortgages, and then take those properties, package them, and turn them over to a private developer for economic development. And that gets into the whole issue of, you know, the Kelo decision and you know, whether or not that's a, you know, that is a taking for a public purpose. And essentially what this bill says is that for the next 2 years, if this is signed into law, that the local governments would not be able to do this. And there were a number of legislators on the floor, I can tell you, Mark, who voted for this, but in doing so also said, look, we would prefer if this moratorium be on, if this was a forever moratorium and not just two years.
Let me go to the phones here, 410-319-8888. Join us here with your thoughts about what's in Annapolis, what your concerns are. We'll look at Brian Sears' analysis of what he sees in Annapolis as he covers it for the Daily Record. Kim, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Hello, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I am a full-time faculty member at the Community College of Baltimore County, and I'm very much passionately involved in the movement to pass HB 490, which is the Community College Collective Bargaining Law.
Yes.
So it would enable all community college employees in the state of Maryland to form unions if they so choose. So I'm wondering if your guest could speak to why this is still stuck in the Appropriations Committee and if he has any updates for us.
I don't have any specific updates. I mean, I can tell you it's stuck in committee, and my recollection was that there were a number of local governments that were not necessarily a fan of this. I mean, this is a tough bill, and I think, to be honest with you, I want to be careful because I didn't prep for this one, and I didn't sort of speak sort of prepare for this, but my recollection from it coming up earlier, where there were some local governments that were opposed to it, there's a little bit of a fiscal note involved. And so, given the times that we're in and everybody's budget's tighter, anything that's got a price tag on it is going to get some extra scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Well, I've been following it really closely, and it just seems like it has a ton of support. And it seems to me that it makes no sense. It makes no sense why these public employees, why we wouldn't have the right to collective bargaining. And I'd love to hear more. I know you said you didn't prepare for it, to see, you know, what you think people should be doing if they want to get that to pass.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out, just in kind of taking a quick scan of it, the Senate version, there's a cross file in the Senate, and that's stuck over in the Finance Committee. That got a hearing earlier in the month, and that doesn't look like it's necessarily going anywhere either.
Well, Kim, I'll tell you what we'll do is we will take a look at this sometime before, while this is being battled inside the legislature. We've already been in touch with you about the other pieces of doing this, but those are happening post-legislative session, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll do something before that to see where this takes us, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
So what else are you covering we might not be seeing in what you've been writing about?
Oh, you know, we're still following the issue of dog bite liability. I mean, the good news here is that the House and the Senate have passed identical versions. Mm-hmm. But that does mean that one of the two chambers needs to pass, you know, one of the, basically you need one of the bills to pass both of the chambers. If you going back to our Schoolhouse Rock days. So it's not enough that they both pass identical versions. One of them has to actually pass the same bill. That's probably going to happen. That looks like a done deal. And I will I'll throw in a little extra, very local note for those people who have been following the school board bill in Baltimore County for the last 8 years. It looks like they're finally going to get an elected appointed hybrid school board in Baltimore County.
That'll be interesting to watch that politics as it unfolds in Baltimore County.
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting because you had a lot of people who, especially in the Senate, in the Baltimore County delegation, who had opposed that for years, who now have voted for it. It flew out of committee. It was unanimously passed in the House and in the Senate. Again, it's identical version, so you still need to get one through, but one through on the other side. But they're identical bills, and my guess is that this is going to happen. And we all anticipate that it's going to happen before sine die, which is great because the closest that Baltimore County had ever gotten was sine die. They almost got it through. It was the next bill up on the floor of the House when they adjourned. And so it looks like this will probably be done with.
Now, one of the things that people are not talking about a lot, and I try to raise with the leadership before, is the projection downward of revenues coming into the state of Maryland. How there's all this kind of playing games with how we're going to make this budget fit, given the lower revenues coming in, and that part of that, and people are talking about, you know, looking out at the future with pensions being a huge issue the state's going to have to grapple with, yet we're going to dip into this pension money to help fill the gap?
Well, and to be clear, I want to be careful about this. They're not dipping into the required payment amounts. Essentially what they're doing, Governor O'Malley wants to essentially renege on a deal that he made in 2011. Under that deal, he essentially asked state employees to pay a little more for their benefits. They were going to get some benefits would be decreased, but there would be a significant savings to the state, and what they vowed to do was to take $300 million of that savings and invest that as extra money with the idea that they were going to get the pension system from 65% funded up to about 80% funded, which is technically actuarially fully funded. What the governor now wants to do is he proposed taking $100 million of that $300 million and putting it towards the budget and doing that in perpetuity. The Senate a couple of weeks ago changed that up a little bit. They're looking at taking $400 million over the next 15 months and then phasing that back into the full $300 extra money going into the pension system, about $50 million a year. And keeping it that way until the pension system hits 85%. I mean, the question is that given the fact that this original deal lasted roughly 3 years, you know, how long will that deal last?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of reneging on things that are supposed to happen, it seems. I mean, when we talked to Governor Martin O'Malley about the phosphorus regulations that were supposed to go into effect, well, they decided that that wasn't that important either. This is a commitment made. This is a bill that could have just gone forward, but we decided to back away from it. I mean, there's a lot of that happening in Annapolis.
It's all negotiable always.
Our future is always negotiable. So give me one last thing that you want us to watch on the horizon before the end of the session.
Well, I do think what we're looking, you know, the issues that we had been talking about a little earlier, I think attorneys at bail is going to be huge, and I think this issue over medical marijuana and decriminalization is really going to occupy the next 2 weeks. Plus, the one thing that we didn't talk about, and that's always a big deal, is the budget. The House needs
right.
to finish its work on the budget. It inevitably will go to conference committee. I do not think we'll run into an issue that we had in 2012. But you know, the budget is always a fun thing to watch in the last couple of weeks, and it usually doesn't get done until right towards the end of the session. And so that's always the playbook for government at the end of the day, Mark. It's, you know, where we're spending our money and what priorities we're placing.
Well, we'll come back to marijuana and bail and give you a holler.
Absolutely.
Brian Sears, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Brian Sears, government reporter for the Daily Record. We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back from this very brief break, we're going to be joined by folks who live in public housing and people who are organizing around this issue to talk about the future of housing given this move called RAD, which is not privatization, according to the folks who run public housing. We're going out with Lionel Richie and his very famous piece, Hello.